Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. James 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest in righteousness.
Over the last few weeks, we've seen that we need to move from just having head knowledge of Jesus to having a faith that is firmly grounded in our hearts. And that as we grow in relationship and understanding of who Jesus is, that the words of our mouths should reflect that change and the growing faith that we have. We should be becoming more like Jesus. We also looked at the fact that in the Lord's Prayer that we had a look at earlier, that your kingdom come is not just about Jesus' return, but it's an expression of our part in our role to make his kingdom experienced here and now while we wait. When people look at us, they should see something different from those around us, something that will draw them to find out about the one that we know. So this week we continue on with James's teaching about words and their actions, particularly actions within the fellowship of believers as well as beyond. How we interact speaks volumes to those who might be seeking to know Jesus and to those who see us in action. Because whether we like it or not, actions do in fact speak louder than words. And this is the next step in our journey with James. As Norm pointed out, last week we thought about water and trees and their fruit, not the passage that Norm's mentioned, but same principles. And I just want to mention briefly our psalm as a reminder to us to stay firmly grounded in our relationship with Jesus. Just as the trees in that visual picture that David painted are firmly rooted on the banks of a river, they stand firm through flood and drought and things that come their way. And we too can stand firm in our faith, in prayer, in Bible reading and devotions. For those things help us to stay grounded, deeply planted in God, and in turn yield the fruit that he gives us in season. We can have confidence that even when things get difficult and trying, that we will not be knocked over. We might get a bit battered, but we can be sure that with God's help, we will still be standing when things settle. Our deeds and decisions in life should reflect our connection with God. It can be difficult when stressed, when time perhaps is of the essence, or there is just too much information at hand to make good decisions. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to be at work within us, we can make good decisions. Wisdom, after all, is one of the spiritual gifts. Godly wisdom is a real gift then for those in leadership in the church, but also in our everyday lives. Making wise decisions can be something that everyone does, particularly when we know God and how he would act. And as we reflect on his character, then our actions will follow his expectations. Easy? Some of you might be familiar with the book or the movie The Getting of Wisdom by Henry Handel Richardson. I do believe it's still in print. It's been around for over nearly 100 years. But for those perhaps who aren't familiar with it, it's the story of a young woman, an awkward, insecure, restless, and using the old terms, knowing child, who learns that self-realisation depends on rebellion and escape. But as she goes through life, she discovers that it will first demand at least a semblance of conformity. In telling lies, Laura learns both the astonishing allure of fiction and the social costs of stepping beyond the bounds of propriety, gender, class, and even family ties. In other words, she learns life lessons from man's wisdom. She ultimately blames God for her bad decisions and their outcome. So many of us make the same mistakes. We learn from those around us and seek to blame someone else when things go wrong, rather than seeking the source of all wisdom and looking for the correct outcomes that flow from our relationship with Him. As we looked at earlier in Smarties Thinking, we need to understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom, because the contrast, as we've seen, is great. We can use reason, but it is God that gives us the revelation. We might know facts, but it's how we apply them that shows where we look to. We can break down problems, or we can relate the whole, the bigger picture, to God's way of living. And scripture is full of examples, both of man's wisdom and the difference with God's wisdom. One will lead to failure, the other to victory. Guessing we're all familiar with the story of the Tower of Babel. It seemed like a good idea to those at the time who were looking to get closer to God. Well, what happened? They didn't get closer to God, did they? They didn't get closer to one another either. They got scattered throughout the earth and didn't end up reaching their goal. Lot sought to remain in Sodom and Gomorrah, where he thought things were good, and was destroyed along with the people there, while Abraham followed God's instructions and lived. Saul thought it was a good idea to send David out to fight Goliath in his armour. God sent David out armed only with a slingshot, and David won. We move a bit further forward, and the disciples thought the solution to a large crowd needing to be fed was to send them home. But Jesus' way was to feed the 5,000 plus with a miracle. And Paul also shows us that when we look to God and seek his wisdom, things turn out better than when we rely only on our own understanding or our own agendas. In Acts 27, the sailors were in a hurry to get their important prisoner to Rome. But Paul told them to wait. But instead, they set off and caught in a large storm, battered and thrown about on the seas. But Paul looked to God, and they eventually made it to port, but not without weathering the elements. We can learn something from each of these examples. But James is writing to those with responsibility within the fellowships that he's communicating with. As I said, his words speak to us, but not only to those in leadership, but also to each one. So let's have a look at what he says. For we all need to live out our faith through our actions and in light of the wisdom that comes from God, rather than our own wants and desires. Verse 14, I guess, is the start for a truth telling. They're all strong verbs that he uses: envy and ambition. Particularly when we're focused on ourselves and will only result in disharmony. Envy, I guess, is easily expressed. Do we get upset when others appear to do better than we do? Do we get angry at the success of others? This can in turn result in bad behaviour and perhaps even outward displays of anger. The disciples, after all, argued over who was the greatest and would have the prime places when Jesus reigned. We really aren't any different, but we should be when we know God and his love for us. We should be prepared to rejoice when others succeed, rather than seeking to knock them down or hamper their efforts. After all, we are called to build up and encourage others, not bring them down. James talks of selfish ambition, and that's a tough one. It really goes against the humility that James mentioned in verse 13. A selfish ambition that feeds into power plays that we often witness in politics, particularly at this time of the elections, but can be seen even within the church. It's seen when someone sets out to gather all the support that they can in order to be voted into a place of power and authority. But this will ultimately only lead to rivalry and division. Harmony and unity can be lost. James also identifies boasting as one of the issues that folks were facing. This one speaks into pride and reliance on self. When we seek to draw attention to ourselves, God is not receiving the glory for his work in us and in his world. Humility is the opposite of pride. Not false humility, but a genuine acknowledgement of others and God at work in the things that we do. James also talks about denying the truth. I guess deceit or lying are another way of putting it, but they're on his hit list. We see it again all the time in politics, bending or omitting the truth to fit our goals or make us look good. Again, fake news is something that we're now familiar with. It stems from the same source. And unfortunately, this too is present within the church. I've seen it in more than one of the locations I've been at over the years, and it brings nothing but disharmony and disunity. Fortunately, one place that I was at, it led a congregation of 300 becoming a place for 40 to gather and worship. We can come and seek to serve ourselves and rely on worldly wisdom and reap worldly results, or we could rely on God and the Holy Spirit and thrive through spiritual outcomes, ones that result not in confusion and disorder, but actually see peace and unity. So I wonder, which do we prefer? So what is the alternative? We need to turn our eyes from self to God. When we put him first, we see the fruits of the Spirit at work and live in peace, not in confusion and unrest. How do we do this? Again, James uses the word pure to describe the wisdom that we should seek. Not self-serving, but serving God and others. Being considerate perhaps is an extension of this thinking. Again, it's about seeking to serve others before self and not using power plays to come out on top. Being submissive is something too that doesn't come easy for us, but it is important. When we recognise and obey God's truth instead of trying to assert our own wants, then we reveal God's rule in our lives. Showing mercy, it's not about expressing sympathy or pity to others, but it's about showing compassion and action towards someone's situation. As we saw last week, good fruits come from the heart and our grounded relationship with God. James goes on to mention impartiality. Again, we treat all people equally, not favouring one over another. And when we are sincere, then we're consistent in our decisions and not being double-minded or constantly changing. What a list. But these are all things that we should be, and it's only with the Spirit's help that we can live up to them. You might have noticed, or you might not, that I actually left one out, one of the things Paul says we should strive for. And it's a big one, which is why I wanted to spend just a little more time on it. James talks about peace, loving and sowing peace to reap righteousness. But biblical peace is different to man's definition of peace. It is not the absence of conflict, confusion, and unrest. It is not appeasing someone just to avoid conflict. God's peace is about facing issues and addressing them. It's about holding firm to justice, living as God wants us to, and the actions that come from seeking His wisdom. Having inner peace, knowing Christ, and allowing the Spirit to be at work in us. And Paul phrases it slightly differently to James, but in Colossians he writes, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments." Peace is the gift that we have when we know Jesus. And it's what we should experience as a fellowship when we all have our eyes focused on God. May we know that the serpent brought confusion and lies when he offered Adam and Eve the knowledge and wisdom from that tree and the fruit on it. But it only brought humankind's fall from God's grace. And we still battle with those desires and those actions today. We can only overcome them when we rely on God for wisdom and not our own efforts. Just as we start to draw into the end, I want to share a short story that perhaps you might be up to reflect on during the week, and also the Message versions of our James reading today. A wise woman who was travelling in the mountains, she found a precious stone in a stream. The next day she met another traveller who was hungry, and the wise woman opened her bag to share her food. The hungry traveller saw the precious stone and asked the woman to give it to him. She did so without hesitation. The traveller left rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew the stone was worth enough to give him security for a lifetime. But a few days later, he came back to return the stone to the wise woman. "I've been thinking," he said. "I know how valuable the stone is, but I give it back in the hope that you can give me something even more precious. Give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me something more precious. Give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me the stone." Take some reflecting on and mulling over to grasp and see how we can apply that. But it is a good word picture about how we should be when we have Jesus in our lives. People should want to know what the difference is and why we do what we do. Friends, godly wisdom might confound those who do not know him, but it will cause them to ask where it comes from. We are called to be different as we seek to serve Jesus. We're called to make him known, individually and as a community of faith. People should be asking what makes us different. And here's the Message paraphrase of what James says in response to that. "Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation of wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. These are the furthest things from wisdom. They are animal cunning, devilish plotting. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throat. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterised by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings. Not hot one day and cold the next, not too fast. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour." Amen. Let's come in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for James' words to your followers and its thought-provoking content. May we reflect our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who shows us how to live in godly wisdom and what it means to be human. Thank you that in Christ we have a living example of what a life that is walking in spirit and truth should be. Father, may we die to self and live to Christ, so that we may say the life that I now live in the flesh is not I, but Christ. Loving God, help us to be free from bitterness of heart or selfish ambitions, and help us to walk in your spirit and in your truth. Give us wisdom and understanding, so that by our actions and attitude we may walk in your ways and always be pleasing to you. Strengthen us and enable us to live as Christ lived, in active dependence on you, seeking your wisdom and guidance in all things. And this we ask for your praise and glory, and in Jesus' name, Amen.